The scripture reading this evening is the introduction to the law of God. Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then follows the Ten Commandments, which we know so very well. But it is the preface or the introduction to the law of God that we want to look at this evening. The introduction to the law of God. It tells us who He is. It tells us what He has done. And it tells us also what Jesus did. The law of God is holy, righteous, and good. Before we open these truths of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You are the lawgiver and the judge, and that You have established Your law in the very heavens, and that the law was given for our good. It was given for the good of the nations, that our freedom is in obedience to the law of God, and that in the introduction to the law of God, You tell us who You are, what You've done, and what our response is to be through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so direct us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the place of the law has been over the generations a controversial thing. It was a controversy in the days of our Lord Jesus. Because the Pharisees felt that it was by means of obedience to the law that they were made right with God. And so they not only had the Ten Commandments, but they had hundreds of other regulations that they claimed were also our responsibility to keep. And they had regulations upon regulation. You could do this and you couldn't do that. You could only go this far on the Sabbath day. You could only carry this on the Sabbath day, but not that. It was an unbelievable burden onto the people. That's how the Pharisees looked at the law. And the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee before he was converted. And he believed that he was, as he said in Philippians chapter 3, as he says in that Philippians chapter, he's comparing himself to others. And he says in Philippians 3, if anyone wants to boast, I will boast even more than he does. He says, I have been born of the tribe of Benjamin, the people of Israel. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, I am blameless. That's how he looked at himself. But, he says, what gain I had, I counted as loss for Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings because and become like him in his death, that if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So the Apostle Paul certainly had a change of heart regarding the law. Before he was converted, he felt he was blameless. After he was converted, he said, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from my sin and my unrighteousness? He was so convinced that he had not lived up to the law of God, and that the only one who did was Jesus Christ, that he kept the law for us, that Jesus fulfilled the law in every aspect. Like Jesus himself said, I did not come to break the law. I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And he fulfilled the law in every respect. So this evening, we're going to look at two mountains. The Mount of Sinai, where God gave the law, and the Mount Calvary, where Jesus kept it and fulfilled it for us. So first of all, then, Mount Sinai. When God gave the law of God, when he gave that law to the children of Israel, they were a motley crew. They had been slaves in Egypt for 450 years. They weren't slaves the whole time. They got to Egypt because Joseph was there. And at first they had, the sons of Jacob had the choice area, the land of Goshen. But a Pharaoh arose who didn't know anything about Joseph. And he was very alarmed about the growth of the people of Israel who lived within the bounds of the country of Egypt, that he felt he should do everything he could to diminish the Israelites' potential. And so he decreed that every boy, baby, had to be drowned in the River Nile, fed to the crocodiles there. And you know the story of how Amram and Jochebed, two godly Israelite husband and wife, had a son. And they saw the son was a beautiful child. And they were not about to feed that child to the crocodiles. And so they devised a very beautiful and innovative way to preserve the life of that beautiful baby. And the mother made an ark, made a little boat of bulrushes that grew along the Nile, and made a almost like a clay inner of that boat so that it would float and it wouldn't disturb the baby, and she'd put the baby in the ark and floated it on the river and put her daughter Miriam in charge. And here the daughter of Pharaoh comes down with her maidens to bathe in the river, and she sees this ark, this little boat. And she goes over and takes the cover off, and here the baby in it begins to cry, and she says, this must be one of the Hebrew babies. And she adopted this baby as her own, and this baby turned out to be Moses. And God later on said to Moses, I have observed the affliction of my people Israel. I've observed what they're going through and the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their suffering. And I have come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And that was the great call of to Moses. And so God led them out of the land of Egypt through 10 plagues and led them through the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his whole host were drowned in the Red Sea. And God led his people of Israel. The whole nation of Israel. They were not yet constituted as a nation. They were just people. Slaves who had been released from bondage. And here they came to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. In the Sinai Desert. Right near Mount Sinai, or also called Mount Horeb. And they pitched their tent around that mountain, and Moses went up into the mountain at the request of God. And God said to Moses, I have brought my people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I have carried them as on eagle's wings out of the oppression of slavery. And I have come to bring them to freedom. To freedom. And God said to Moses, give this law to my people Israel. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then follows the Ten Commandments. The first mountain is the Mount Sinai, from where God spoke and gave the Ten Commandments. God revealed himself to them as his covenant, as the covenant God. I am Jehovah, your God. I am the Lord Almighty. I am Jehovah who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's who I am. God introduced himself to the people as our covenant-keeping God, as the God who had spoken to Abraham earlier. Much earlier. And God said to Abraham, I am that I am. He said that to Moses. He said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will give to you and your descendants the whole land of Egypt. I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you to myself. God introduced himself to Israel as our covenant-keeping God, who remembered the promises he made to their forefathers long before. So God tells us in the introduction who he is. He is our creator. He is our lawgiver. He is our covenant father. And he said, I am your God. And this is a very important thing for the Israelites to remember, that they were God's children. They were chosen not because they were more numerous than others. As God says in Deuteronomy 7, he says to them, I did not choose you because you were more numerous than others, because you were the smallest of all. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than other peoples that the Lord has set his love upon you and has chosen you, because you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. That's why he took you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love which he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flocks in the land that he swore to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and none of all the evil diseases of Egypt which you knew will he inflict on you, but he will lay them on those who hate him. And you shall consume all the peoples that the Lord your God will give over to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. That's who God is. God laid his love upon them. And so all of that is in the preface to the law. I am the Lord your God. I am your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So that tells us what God did. He took them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He took them out of bondage. And the bondage was deadly. It was a terrible bondage. There was no pity on the children of Israel. They had to make bricks, and then the straw was taken away. How could they do it? And their infant sons were fed to the alligators or the crocodiles. I mean, the affliction was grinding and terrible. And the Lord said, I saw the affliction that you had in Egypt. I'm aware of it. And I've sent my servant Moses to take you out of Egypt and deliver you. And so he brings them to Mount Sinai. Now there is a wonderful significance here. And the significance is this: that God did not give them the Ten Commandments in the land of Egypt. God did not say to them, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall keep the Lord's day holy. You shall honor your parents. Do not kill, commit adultery, steal, or lie. And do not covet. He didn't say any of that to the children of Israel while they were in Egypt, because they couldn't have obeyed. As a matter of fact, they were not all that much better than the Egyptians in their community. And when they got out of Egypt, there were some of them that said, let's go back to Egypt, because there at least we had enough food to eat. And they murmured against Moses, and they cried out against Moses all the way through the wilderness. And God punished them for that. And for 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness. Were they any better than the Egyptians? There were a few that were people of faith, like Moses' parents. And there were others who were people of faith, who followed the Lord, who loved Him, who did His will. But they were not released out of Egypt. They were not given the victory over the Egyptian slavery and affliction because they were obedient to God's word. No. God delivered them out of Egypt by grace alone. It was because God loved them that He took them out of Egypt. He didn't give them the law in Egypt. They couldn't have obeyed. If that law was given in Egypt and the condition of release from Egypt, from the house of bondage, the condition was obedience to the law, they'd still be there. They'd never gotten out. No, they were given that release from Egypt, that victory over the hostility and the hatred and the affliction of the Egyptians, they were given that for only one reason: the love of God. It is because God loved them and remembered the promises He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That God loved them. He took them out of Egypt purely because of His love. That's grace. It was grace alone that took them out of bondage. And then, before they reached the promised land, God gave them the law. So here we see the relationship between gospel and law. The relationship between the two is based on grace. We are given deliverance from bondage. Because what is sin? Sin is bondage to the flesh. It's bondage to evil. It's bondage to disobedience. Sin is... By nature, we are all sinners. We're all in bondage to sin. As Paul says in Romans 3, there is none that does any good, no, not even one. That's us. By nature, we don't do what's right, don't do what's honest, don't do what God wants us to do. We're guilty. All of us are sinners. So they were delivered out of Egypt not because they were good. They were delivered out of Egypt because of God's wondrous grace. It was a gift, purely a gift. And then God brings them to Mount Sinai. And He says, "Now, I am the Lord that did this. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of bondage. I've brought you out of this affliction. I've taken you out of this terrible slavery. And I brought you here. And I've made you a people. You are my chosen possession. I have done that for you. It's grace and grace alone. Now, because I have given that to you, therefore, I want you to obey me. Because I have delivered you, you are called to obey me." So it is as if there's a therefore between "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. Therefore, You are not to make a graven image. Therefore, you are not to take God's name in vain. Therefore, obey the Sabbath day. Therefore, honor your father and your mother. Therefore, do not kill, steal, commit adultery, or lie, or do not covet. Why? Because of His goodness to us, because of His love, because of His salvation. Because going through the Red Sea is a picture of the blood of Christ. We are delivered from sin through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus kept the law perfectly for us, and He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because in the Old Testament it says, cursed is everyone who doesn't obey the law. And so anyone who doesn't obey the law is cursed according to that teaching. And the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 3:13, Jesus Christ has become a curse for us. Because cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Jesus became a curse for us to take away the curse of the law from us. That's Mount Calvary. That's where the great accomplishment was made. Because you know, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus was born under the law. The law was over Him too. When Jesus was at the Jordan River and John the Baptist was baptizing, Jesus came to be baptized of Him. And John the Baptist said, oh, no. I'm not going to baptize you. You've got to baptize Me. And Jesus said, no. I must fulfill all righteousness. You're to baptize me. And so John the Baptist baptized Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. He took our place. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many. He gave His life that we may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus fulfilled the law for us. So out of Egypt, it was grace alone. And then before they got to the land of Canaan, God gives them the law. He says, this is how you have to live. I have given you freedom from bondage, from slavery. I have made you a people of My own possession. Now I'm going to show you how you have to live in that freedom. And He gives us the law. You see, the law is what gives us freedom. I'll never forget a certain day. I was pastor in Chino, California. And during the week prior to that Sunday, the consistory had decided to repave the parking lot. It was a large parking lot. We had a large congregation, probably 1,200 to 1,300 people. And so there were about 400 to 450 cars. Okay, so the parking lot had all been paved. But there were no lines. There were no places designated for parking. It was just one black parking lot, new asphalt. And that Sunday, cars came into that parking lot and didn't know where to park. And they parked helter-skelter everywhere. And there was not enough room for all the cars. And they had to park on Riverside Drive. They had never had to do that before, but there were cars parked on the driveway. There were cars parked on Riverside Drive. And when the church ended, nobody could find their cars. It was pathetic. During the next week, the asphalt company came and put in the parking strips. The yellow, the orange lines for parking. It was a beautiful sight, really. When Sunday morning came, all those people came back to church and they all parked where they were supposed to. And that parking lot was very adequate to hold all of the cars of all the people. No one had to park on the driveway. No one had to park on Riverside Drive. Everything was beautiful. You know what happened? The law was given. There was the law. Here are the lines. You park between the lines, and then what? There's freedom. There's freedom. You see, our Lord Jesus took the curse out of the law. He kept the law himself. And he gives us this law as our freedom. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And these commandments are for your good. They're not only for your good as the people of God, they're good for the whole world. The world is a better place if they obey the law of God. If they do not kill, do not steal, do not rape, do not commit adultery, do not lie. The world is a better place if we obey the law. The law gives freedom. The law gives joy. You see, the Lord desires our freedom. But there's only freedom within the law. Fish are absolutely free in water. They can go anywhere they want in Lake Michigan. But they cannot go where there is no water. If they break the law for fish, they will die. Same with us. God gives us the law so that within the law we have wonderful, precious freedom. There's freedom within marriage. Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a beautiful, beautiful arrangement. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Do not kill. Life is precious because we are made in God's image. And we are to keep the law because God has loved us so much that he redeemed us so that we might obey him and walk before his face. No wonder the psalmist in Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Blessed is the man who loves his law and who meditates upon that law day and night. That man, that woman, that young person is like a tree planted by riverside. That tree flourishes. And whatever he does will flourish and prosper. And so God says to the children of Israel, you want to have prosperity? You want a good life? You want true happiness? You want true freedom? Then live within my commandments, and you will have joy, freedom. But, says the Lord, if you break my commandments, if you go your own sweet way, and if you thumb your nose at the Lord, and you say, I will not follow his word, then the Lord has very clear judgment for us. He calls us to follow Him out of love, out of obedience. So why did God give us His holy law? In order that we might serve Him, that we might find joy in Him, that we might know what true freedom really is, that we might show ourselves grateful for such a great deliverance. And also that our neighbors may be won for Christ when they see that we love the Lord and our life is prosperous because He loves us. And so the preface to the law lays this all out. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, love me and walk before me and obey my word, and you will be happy, truly happy and free. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Thank you, O Lord, for your perfect law. Bless us this night. Thank you for your great love to us. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.